that meeting. You're in Sunday school this morning. You're in training hour this evening. And you're in this coming Wednesday evening. We were going to be teaching a series entitled The Lie. The Lie. We stated that we were going to be dealing with the lie all the way from its commencement to its cancellation. That's mentioned in the book of the Revelation, chapter number 20. Here in John chapter number 8, in verse number 44, I read this verse first of all last Wednesday evening. And I'm going to say this morning just a few things by way of review for the benefit of those that here this morning that was not here last Wednesday evening. And then we will continue on where we picked up, when we left off last Wednesday. Here in John 8:44, Jesus said, "Ye are of your father the devil, and the lust of your father ye will do. He was a murderer from the beginning, and abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own. For he is a liar and the father of it." Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the privilege of being able to come into thy house once again this morning. We thank you for each individual that's come this way. And I pray that during this Sunday school hour, that every Christian will be encouraged and be instructed and be strengthened in the inner man. I pray that every Christian, because that they've met here today at this time, will be a stronger Christian for having met. And I pray if there be one or some in this building today that has never been saved by thy grace, I pray that this will be the day that they'll accept the Lord Jesus as the personal Savior. For we ask it in the name of Jesus. Amen. You'll notice in John 8:44, Jesus speaks of two things. First, he speaks of the truth. Second, he speaks of the lie. Here in verse number 44, Jesus contrasted the truth with the lie. Now, we went a step further last Wednesday evening, and to lay the foundation for this series, we said that we wanted each individual to understand what the lie is. What is the lie? This question is answered in Romans chapter number 1. And if you'll turn your Bible there for just a moment, we'll review this verse very quickly. In Romans chapter 1 and verse number 25. Here we find in this verse, the Apostle Paul says, "Who changed the truth of God into a lie." Here in the first part of this verse, Paul speaks of two things. The same two things that Jesus speaks of in John 8:44. Jesus speaks of the truth, Paul speaks here of the truth, and then second, he speaks of the lie. But as I said, Paul goes further here, and in the last part of this verse, he describes and defines for us what the lie is. Here we find that Paul says, "And worshiped and served the creature more than the Creator." There is the lie. Or in other words, the lie is dethroning the Creator and deifying the creature. That is the lie. The lie, in other words, is simply this: I do not need God. I can get along without God. I'm a God unto myself. I take orders from no one. That is the lie. As I just stated a few moments ago, we were going to trace the lie contrasted with the truth throughout the pages of the Word of God during this series. On last Wednesday evening, we dealt with the commencement of the lie. Now, I'm not going to review any of what we said concerning that, but it is found in Isaiah chapter number 14. Isaiah chapter number 14 deals with the fall of an angel by the name of Lucifer. Lucifer sinned and rebelled against God and in turn became who we know today as the devil. The lie commenced or had its beginning or origin in the angelic realm, but it did not remain in the angelic realm. There came a time that it invaded the human race. When the lie invaded the human race. And this is described for us and told us in Genesis chapter number 3. And here in this chapter we see, second, the continuance of the lie. Genesis chapter number 3. I want everyone to turn your Bible there at this time this morning. Genesis chapter number 3. We said much concerning this chapter last Wednesday evening that we're not going to say at the present time. Here in verse number 1, the Bible says, "Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field." Now I'm going to review this, and then we'll pick up where we left off. When verse number 1 speaks of the serpent, what is it speaking of? What all is involved here? Now, I truthfully believe that I can plainly tell you this morning. I believe that here in verse number 1, when the Bible speaks of the serpent as he approached the woman, I believe that this is speaking of a literal serpent who was the instrument or the tool of a superior being. And that superior being was none other than the devil. Here we find that Satan used as an instrument or as a tool a literal serpent. Now I can prove that as I did last Wednesday evening. Notice your Bible in verse number 14 of this same chapter. Here in this verse we find that the man and woman had already sinned. And here we find that God says, "And the Lord God said unto the serpent, because thou hast done this, thou art cursed above all cattle and above every beast of the field." God placed a curse on the animal kingdom. Why? Because it was a literal serpent that was involved here in the opening verses of Genesis chapter number 3. But there was more involved than a literal serpent. Verse number 15 tells us this. Notice your Bible once again. God here says, "And I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed. It shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel." Here we find no doubt that God was speaking to the devil. He was speaking to Satan. So when we put these two verses together, they tell us that when the serpent is spoken of in the opening verses of this chapter, that it tells us that Satan made use of a literal serpent. A literal serpent was Satan's mouthpiece, so to speak, here in the opening verses of Genesis chapter number 3. And I have no problem believing that Satan could use a literal serpent as his mouthpiece. I want you to turn your Bible this morning for just a moment to Luke chapter number 8. Luke chapter number 8. Anybody that believes what is found here in Luke chapter number 8 should have no trouble believing that the devil used a literal serpent as his mouthpiece here in Genesis chapter number 3. Here in Luke chapter number 8 and in verse number 26. In verse number 26, the Bible says, "And they arrived at the country of the Gadareans, which is over against Galilee. And when he went forth to land," that speaks for the Lord Jesus, "when he went forth to land, there met him out of the city a certain man which had devils long time." Now listen, you have a Scofield reference Bible this morning. You'll find that Scofield has got it subheaded here above verse 26, "Demons cast out of the maniac of Gadarea." Now instead of being a maniac, he was a demoniac, because he was a man that was possessed with devils. And it says that he wear no clothes, neither abode in any house, but in the tombs. And verse 28 it says, and when he saw Jesus, he cried out and fell down before him, and with a loud voice said, what have I to do with thee, Jesus? Thou Son of God Most High, I beseech thee, torment me not. And then we find that it goes on in verse 29, but I want you to notice verse number 30. Here the Bible says, and Jesus asked him, saying, what is thy name? And he said, Legion. Because many devils were entered into him. Verse 31 says, and they besought him that he would not command them to go out into the deep. Verse number 32 it says, and there was there an herd of many swine feeding on the mountain, and they besought him that he would suffer them to enter into them, and he suffered them. I don't want to get too far off what I'm teaching right now, but I do want to say this. You'll notice here in verses 31 and 32 that the word besought is used twice. These devils or demons made two requests to the Lord Jesus. And you know what? Jesus answered both requests. He answered both requests, but the word besought is used again in verse number 38. We find that this has to do with the man that was saved here. And in this verse it says, now the man out of whom the devils were departing besought Jesus, besought him, that he might be with him, but Jesus sent him away, saying, return to thy own house and show how great things God hath done unto thee. You say, preacher, what are you saying? I'm saying that Jesus answered the request of these demons. I'm saying that he turned this saved man down. He turned him down flat. Now, I said all that to say this. If I sat in this building this morning, and if I was you, I'd want a better evidence that I was saved than just an answered prayer. You see what I'm saying? I mean, my hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. The song says, I will not trust the sweetest frame, not even an answered prayer. Not even an answered prayer. And what I want you to notice, verse number 32, and there was there and heard of many swine feeding on the mountain, and they besought him. He would suffer them to enter into them, and he suffered them. Then went the devils out of the man and entered into the swine, and the herd ran violently down a steep place into the lake and were choked. Why did they do this? Because the devils completely took control of this herd of swine. Now I'm going to say this as well. You'll notice here that these swine did two things that are unnatural for hogs to do. Number one, they ran violently down a steep place. You cannot run a hog down the mountainside. You can't do that. They did that which was unnatural. Second, it says that they ran into the lake and were choked. Now listen, my friend, hogs like a wallowing hole, but they don't care anything about a swimming hole. You know why? Because hogs can't swim. These hogs did two things that are unnatural. Why did they act unnatural? Because these devils or demons took complete control of these swine, and they committed hogicide. Let me say this at this time. Do you know why that we have so many inhuman killings today? Do you know why that we seem to have so many killings today that are so cruel and brutal and inhuman? You know why? You know why that people seem to do today those things which are so unnatural for them to normally do? It's because I believe we're living in a time when demon possession and influence is very high. I well realize that there are some people today that teach that it is not possible for a person to be possessed with demons today. But you're looking at one preacher this morning that does not believe that. They teach that since Jesus ascended back to heaven, it's not been possible. But I believe it is. You'll notice in 2 Timothy sometime when you're reading, and in verse number 1, Paul says to young Timothy, he said, "This know also, that in the last days perilous times shall come." Perilous. That word means hard. It means difficult. It means dangerous. And we today are living in dangerous days. And do you know that the word translated dangerous, or excuse me, perilous there, is the same word used in connection with this demoniac here. And Matthew 8:28 tells us that he was fierce. He was fierce. Why? Because he was possessed with devils. So we find that since devils controlled this herd of swine, certainly the devil could take control of a serpent and use him as his mouthpiece. In Genesis chapter number 3, I might say this as well. There are only 3 instances in the Old Testament where animals are mentioned in connection with the power of speech. Only 3. The first one is right here in Genesis 3 concerning the serpent. The second one is in Numbers 22 concerning Balaam's eyes. It says that he spake with the voice of man. And then the third instance is found in the book of Jonah, chapters 1 and 2, when he speaks of the great fish which God had prepared to swallow Jonah. Only 3 instances. Now, you'll notice here that verse 1 says, "Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field." Now you'll notice that the serpent is the 6th personage spoken of in the Bible. I want you to turn your Bible for just a moment to Genesis chapter number 1. I just said that the serpent, which involves the devil, is the 6th personage spoken of in the Bible. Genesis chapter number 1 and verse 1, the Bible says, "In the beginning God created the heaven and the earth." Here we see God the Father at work. Verse 2 says, "And the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God." Here we see the Spirit of God at work. Then it says in verse 3, "And God said, let there be light." Jesus said in John chapter 8 and 9, "I am the light of the world." Here we see God the Son at work, and I could prove this if we had more time. But here in the first 3 verses of the Word of God, we see the Trinity spoken of. I am a Trinitarian. I'm not a Unitarian. I'm a Trinitarian. I believe in one God manifested. One God. I didn't say 3 gods, I said one God manifested in 3 persons. God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. And here we see these 3 in the first 3 verses. So that makes 3. Then we find that in Genesis chapter 1 and 2, God created the man and the woman. That makes 5. That's 5. You have 5 personages spoken of when you come to the end of Genesis chapter number 2. Then we find that the devil is introduced to us in the opening of Genesis chapter number 3, and that makes him the 6th personage spoken of in the Bible. Now, I've said that to say this. 6 in the Word of God is the numerical number for man. It's the numerical number for man. Man was created on the 6th day. And we can go on and on. And I will say this at this time, the reason that man was created on the 6th day and not on the 1st day, not on the 2nd, the 3rd, or the 4th, or the 5th, is this. If God had created man on any of the previous days, you can't tell me that man today, he'd stand up and he'd try to take credit for helping God set everything in order. as we find in Genesis chapter number 4. But since God created man, the life thing, you can't do that, and I can't either. So he waited till the life thing. You see, God's got everything in order. But I've said that to say this. Not only is 6 the number of man, but 6 is also the number of the devil in the pages of the Word of God. Over and over again, 6 is the number mentioned in the Word of God in connection with the devil and sin. The serpent was created on the 6th day. The 6th character mentioned in the Bible is the serpent. 6 times men accused Jesus of being a devil. Jesus asked the question, can Satan cast out Satan? 6 words. The 6th time that the 1,000 years is used in Revelation 20 is in connection with the devil or Satan. You see, 6 is one of the numbers in the Bible for the devil and sin. And if you'll remember this, it will help you a lot when you come to Revelation chapter number 13. And if you turn your Bible there, just very quickly, I want to say something in connection with that. I said that if you will remember that 6 is the number of the devil, it will help you when you come to this particular chapter. I want you to notice this chapter in verse number 16. And the verses following. Verse 16 says, and he calls us all, both small and great, rich and poor, free and bond. 6 crises. Not 5, not 7, but 6. To receive a mark in their right hand or in their foreheads. And that no man might buy or sell, save he that had the mark or the name of the beast or the number of his name. Here in verse number 17, we have a mark, we have a name, and we have a number. And there's much to be said in connection with this. But notice verse 18. Here is wisdom. Let him that hath understanding count the number of the beast, for it is the number of a man. And his number is what? 666. Now, if I was writing that out, I would write 666, would not you? That's what the Bible is speaking of. Now, here we find that it says that it is the number of a man, the devil man. This is referring to the Antichrist that will be revealed following the rapture of the church. And he absolutely will be the devil in flesh, the devil man. So therefore, we see the appropriateness of the number 6 here. His number being 666. And if you'll study the Word of God, you'll find that 600 is the number for warfare in the Bible. That's what's spoken here. 70 is 60. 60 is the number of pride in the Bible. And then 6 is the number for the devil and man. So when we put these together, we have the devil man filled with pride, who will make war against the saints of God. So this will help you when you come to this particular chapter. But I want us to notice further here, in verse number 1, it says, now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field. Now the word subtle here, used in verse number 1, is the word which means wise. It means wise. Do you remember when Jesus, in Matthew chapter number 10 and in verse number 16, he said, be ye wise as serpents and harmless as doves? If you have your Bible, turn for a moment to 2 Corinthians chapter number 11. In 2 Corinthians chapter number 11 and in verse number 3, the Bible says, but I fear lest by any means, as the serpent, there he is, as the serpent beguiled or thoroughly deceived, is what that word means. As the serpent beguiled Eve through his subtlety, wisdom, the devil, my friend, is wise. He's wise. In the book of Ezekiel, chapter number 28, Lucifer is spoken of. And of course, this was the devil before that he failed. And in Ezekiel 28, and in verse number 12, the Bible says this, "Thus saith the Lord God, thou sealest up the sum." The sum. That means that the one that's spoken of in this passage is the most exalted of all of God's creatures. Then verse 12 goes further, and he says, "Thou sealest up the sum full of wisdom." Full of wisdom. This means that this created being possessed the full measure of creative wisdom. And although the devil, although Lucifer sinned and became the devil, although he is a fallen creature, he is still very wise. He's very wise. Most certainly he is. But I'm going to say this. He's not omniscient. Or in other words, he does not know all things. In Hebrews chapter number 12, in Hebrews chapter number 4, in Hebrews chapter number 4, and in verse number 12, the Bible says this, "For the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Neither is there any creature that is not manifest in his sight, but all things are naked and opened unto the eyes of him with whom we have to do." Now let me say this today. The devil does not know all things. Many times a person will say, "Does the devil know what I'm thinking?" All the time, the devil does not know your thoughts or what you're thinking, but he has a superhuman skill. He has superhuman skill to detect your line of thought. I mean by that, if you're not very careful, he knows how to get it out of you. That's what I'm saying. We find the devil's very wise. And we find his wisdom displayed here in this chapter in two things. Number one, I see here that he displayed his wisdom in the fact that he approached the woman in the form of a serpent. And you say, "Preacher, I don't see the wisdom of the devil in that." Well, I do, and you will also. In Genesis chapter 1 and in verse number 28, if you look at the Word of God, the Bible says, "And God blessed them," that speaks of the man and the woman, "And God blessed them, and God said unto them, Be fruitful and multiply, and replenish the earth, and subdue it, and have dominion." Now don't miss this. "And have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over every creeping thing that moveth upon the earth." That includes the literal serpent. Man here was given dominion over the animals. So we find that when the devil approached Eve in the form of an inferior animal, that shows us his wisdom. That shows us his wisdom. Because he approached her in the form of an inferior or subject animal. Now let me say this as well. The word serpent here is a word which is associated with the word bright and shining. The meaning of the word serpent is associated with the word bright and shining. Now, who was it that named the animals? I believe it was Adam, don't you? In Genesis chapter number 1, the Word of God tells us it was. In chapter number 2, I want you to notice this in verse number 18. "And the Lord God said, It is not good that man should be alone. I will make him an helpmeet for him." Now I'm going to say this at this time also. This word helpmeet right here in verse number 18, if you bring that word over into the New Testament, it is the Greek word parakletos. It's the same word used for the Holy Spirit. The identical same word used for the Holy Spirit in the New Testament. Now you say, preacher, what are you saying? I'm saying this. When a wife and when a woman is filled with the Holy Spirit, she'll stand by the side of her husband through thick and thin. That's what I'm saying. That's what the Word of God's telling us here. But then we find, he says, I will make him an helpmeet for him. And in verse number 19 and 20, we find that God makes the woman. Is that right? Is that right? No, that's not right. And I'm not trying to be smart. But God makes the woman in verses 21 through 25. You know, after saying what God did in verse number 18, we would expect God to immediately, in verse 19, make the woman. But he doesn't. Why doesn't he? He doesn't because he does it, and I'll answer you in just a moment. In verse 19, notice what does happen. And out of the ground the Lord God formed every beast of the field and every fowl of the air, and brought them unto Adam to see what he would call them. And whatsoever Adam called every living creature, that was the name thereof. Verse 20 says this, and Adam gave names to all cattle, and to the fowl of the air, and to every beast of the field, but for Adam there was not found an helpmeet for him. What did God do there? I'll tell you what God did. God used Adam to name the animals, and in doing so, he stirred up in Adam a desire for an helpmeet. You see what I'm saying? Before God made Adam that woman, he created in Adam that desire for her. Before Adam created the woman, he opened Adam's eyes, and so he realized the fact that he had a need for her. But the good thing about all this is this. When we realize that we have a need in our life as a Christian, God has already provided for it and planned for it sometime in the past. You see, before we ever realize that we have a need, you can mark it down. God has already provided and planned for that need. You're sitting in this building this morning saved by the grace of God. There's no reason for you to worry about anything. You say, preacher, why is that? Because God has already planned and provided for every need that will ever arise in your life as a Christian. Oh, certainly. Oh, certainly this is so. Here we find this in connection with Adam and the making of the woman. But here in verse number 19, it tells us that Adam named the animals. Now, when Adam named the animals, don't you think that he named them according to their looks and peculiarities? I do. And we find that he named a particular animal the serpent. And the serpent is associated with the words bright and shining. Why do you think he named him that? The reason I think he named him that is because he was a splendid, beautiful, bright, and shining animal. I believe that's the reason. So when the devil comes up to the woman in the form of a serpent, no doubt she thought to herself, she said, I've not got any reason to be afraid of this serpent because my own husband has named him and given him such a beautiful name that fits his description very well. So I've not got anything to be afraid of. You see what I'm saying? He came to the woman in the form of an inferior animal. And that shows us the wisdom of the devil. And I will say this. We've got just a few more minutes, and I will say this at this time. The serpent before the fall is not as we know the serpent today. I want you to notice your Bible in verse number 14 again of this same chapter. After the fall of the man and the woman, we find God speaking, and it says, "And the Lord God said unto the serpent, Because thou hast done this, thou art cursed above all cattle, and above every beast of the field. Now notice this. Upon thy belly shalt thou go, and dust shalt thou eat all the days of thy life." Now listen, my friend. It could have very well been before the fall, that the serpent walked upright. Now that might sound like I'm saying a little bit something that's wild this morning, but I don't believe so. You see, if the serpent hadn't walked upright before the fall, what God says here in verse number 14 would be meaningless. Would be meaningless. So we find here that in his wisdom, in that he approached the woman in the form of an inferior animal that was no doubt bright and shining and beautiful to look upon. You see, the devil does not always make his attack with terror. No, he don't. In the Bible, the devil is referred to as a roaring lion, and as such, he is known for his destructiveness. In the Bible, the devil is known and called an angel of light. And as such, he is known for his deceptiveness. And this is how he approached the woman. Here, in Genesis chapter number 3. And the last thing I'm saying is found in 2 Corinthians chapter 11. If you'll turn your Bible there at this time. Second Corinthians chapter number 11 and verse number 13. The Bible says, "For such are false apostles, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into the apostles of Christ for no marvel. For Satan himself is transformed." The word transforming is used in verse 13 once. The word transformed is used in verse 14 once. The word transformed is used in verse 15 once. You'll take note of that. "No marvel, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light." When I stand here this morning, and when I mention the word angel, what do you think of? Most people in this building this morning would think of a bright, shining, splendid, heavenly being. Okay, that's fine. I believe that's what I think of. That's what the normal person would think of. When I stand here and I say light, what do you think of? Now, if you read the Word of God much and study the Word of God much, I know what you think. Your mind will immediately go to 1 John 1:5, and in that verse the Word of God says, God is light. God is light. So when we put the angel of light together, we find that Satan does not always make his attack with terror, but many times he will come and appear as a bright, shining, beautiful messenger of God. Messenger of God. Most certainly, he does many times. Let's bow our heads.